Welcome to the Lights Out Podcast. This is Chris Lights Out Lytle, and this is our journey to document the history of mixed martial arts. I have brought with me my friend, the MMA detective Mike Davis, and together we will preserve the history and hear some great stories from the world in the era of the no holds barred. Thank you and enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have got a very special guest, and we've been on this kind of like Brazil kick lately. The guys that migrated from Brazil to the United States that made big names for themselves. This gentleman right here had 17 fights in the UFC, all of them incredibly entertaining. And Rafael Natal, thank you so much for joining us.
Mike, my pleasure, man. It's a pleasure to be here, make a part of your podcast, you know. And yeah, I'm happy to be here with you, talk a little bit about my career, about my life. Thank you very much for having me here.
So is this your first podcast interview?
No, I did some. I think the first in English is the first one.
Because I didn't find anything in English. I saw some in Portuguese, but man, that's good. That makes it all the more special. Let's talk about your beginnings into jiu-jitsu. From what I understand, you come from a capoeira background.
Yes. I started in judo when I was 13 years old, but I just did judo for like almost a year, right? So I started in judo. So why I just stay for a little bit? Because some guys, they give some like a hard takedowns, you know? So I hit the ground too hard and I say, man, that's not for me, you know? This guy gonna keep throwing me down. And the guy, I was to have like a 13 years old. The guy used to be older and they threw me very hard. And then I quit the judo. And then I started to do capoeira from 14 years old. That's when I really started. I think I did judo a little bit, but I think martial arts, I think it's like a training hard was in capoeira when I was 14 years old.
And then how do you get introduced into jiu-jitsu?
And then I was training capoeira a lot, you know, and capoeira have some guys that like jumping very well, some guys that doing singer very well, play the strum and play the things very well, right? And I was the guy that used to fight well. After a few years doing capoeira, like 3 or 4 years, I started to be the guy that defend the flag. You know, when some tough guys from different group come to play with us, I used to be the tough guy to defend our group, one of the tough guys to defend our group. And some guys start to take me down and give me a hard time on the ground. I start to, capoeira is on your feet. And then some guys start to take me down like a double leg, single leg, give me a hard time. I say, man, where these guys come from? They give us a hard time. I say, man, that's guys from jiu-jitsu, the capoeira and jiu-jitsu. So I say, man, I need to do that, you know? And have one thing very interesting. My brother started training first than me. My brother is a black belt, right? And I'm 4 years older than him. And I remember the capoeira have this thing that I started some guys from jiu-jitsu training capoeira, give him a hard time. And my brother, 4 years younger than me, he always respect me a lot. And then sometimes I start to talk like a little bit rude with him, like he always respect me because I was older. And then he started to challenge me, you know, look at me in different eyes. I can see the confidence on my brother's eye. And I say, man, this kid changed, have something there. And then he told me that he was doing jiu-jitsu. I saw him with the gi too. I said, man, what are you doing? He said, jiu-jitsu where? And then he told me the place. I said, man, I have a problem in capoeira. My brother started to be too confident. You know, I'm going to start to give him a hard time. So I'm going to start to train. And then I went to his school. I trained there in his school for like 3 or 4 months. And then I got in love for jiu-jitsu. That was in 2002, 2003.
So who did you start jiu-jitsu with?
Man, I like to mention everybody's name. I trained for like 2 or 3 months with one guy. His name is Beethoven. I trained that he used to be the coach of my brother. And then I begin with him for like 2 or 3 months, no more than that. And then I move to another neighborhood. And then I started training with a small team there, but a great team. The name is a Força Livre with Professor Zé Ayrton and then with Professor Claudio. Professor Claudio was the main guy, the owner of the team, the Força Livre. And I trained with him for like a year and a half. And after that, he saw that I have a talent, you know, he realized that I want to do this for my life. And then he talked to Draculino. That's a very important part of my career, part of my life because I always was very loyal to my coach, to the people around me. And for me, I will never change the team. But he saw me a lot of potential in me. He said, man, you want to do this on your career? I said, yeah, maybe I want. He said, no, because you're doing very well, but I don't have a team for you. Do you have to go to another guy? I said, no, coach, come on. I want to stay with you. Let's get together. You support me. He said, no, man, if you want to be professional, it's not with me. And then I say, okay. And then we talk about that. And like 2 weeks later, we was in the tournament in Brazil. And then I saw him go there to talk to Draculino. And then I said, man, why he talked to Draculino? And then he said, Draculino, I have one student that he's very tough. He want to be a MMA fighter, you know, have very talented jiu-jitsu. He just trained for a year, year and a half. So I'd like his go train with you. And then he introduced me to Draculino. And then this was on Sunday, Monday. I went to Draculino's to start training with him, you know? Brother,
I interviewed Draculino. If that guy, I'm very happy I never met him as a very young child. Because he, every word that came out of his mouth, it was like, if he was like a cult leader, I would join. I would 100% join that guy's cult.
No, man, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable, man. He's an amazing guy to be around.
So your original coach, I think what's important to know is many people, they see somebody with success or ability and they attach themselves and they're so afraid to let them go. A real coach that really cares about his student does the best for his student.
Yes. Man, this guy, if he's not talked to Draculino at that time, I will never leave him. Say true for you. Because I'm very loyal. I told him, no, coach, let's get together, man. You have a good team. You can support. Say, no, Sap, I can't, man. Draculino is the man. You know, you don't know the sport yet. You're pretty new in the sport, so... He is the man. He's going to help you a lot. He's a great guy. You're going to be in great hands. We're going to keep being friends. You can come to train our team and everyone wants, but you need to go there. Amen. And that means a lot for me. He's still my great friend. You know, we always talk to each other. I have one group with him. And he's an amazing guy. And I always thank him for that. You know, he take this decision to pass me to Draculino. He knew that he have a talent on his hands, you know, and some a lot of coaches going to hold that. Not going to let the guy leave. Oh, no, I'm going to keep with you. But realistically, he didn't have the team for that. And he really doesn't want that. He doesn't want like make MMA, be an MMA coach. So like the first opportunity that he had, he talked to Draculino. And that was a big, huge favor that he made for me. You know, I'm very blessed.
So when do you think you earned Draculino's respect? What was the moment?
Man. It's hard to say, you know. When I come to Draculino, I remember the first time that I talked to him, and I talked to him in the tournament pretty fast. And then I went to his academy on Monday, and then I get there, I say, "Hey, champ, how are you doing?" I say, "Good." We talk, yes. What's your name again? I say, "Ah, Sapo." And then he put me to train with some student of him, of like a very tough students. And I train well. I tap many times, but I train well. You know, I try to resist. I fight a lot. Listen, my ears is broke. Right? This year, it's coming like 2 months after I started training with Draculino. My ears didn't was broke before. When I started training with Draculino, in 2 months, my ears completely broke because I don't want to tap triangle, guillotine. I don't want to tap for nothing, and my ears broke. 2 years was like that already.
So cauliflower ear. You had cauliflower ear in 2 months.
In 2 months. Both of my ears broke bad in 2 months because I don't want to tap. You know, I want to resist hard. And then I think, and then how hard I train, that showed Draculino, I think, how tough I was, how hard I fight, you know, that I have a heart. So it was kind of that. But if I have to mention one thing, you know, about Draculino, I'm going to mention a few things that are important here. I was training there, right, to fight to jiu-jitsu first. I trained there to be a jiu-jitsu champion, but he always know that I want to do the MMA. And then I was training with him, and after 1 year, I become world champion as a blue belt. And then was a great time. He was on my corner, you know, and then he said, man, congratulations, you fought very well. I won five tough fights, and I won the world championship in 2005 as a blue belt. And then he said, Sap, I told him, coach, it's great, jiu-jitsu is amazing, it was the best day of my life to be a world champion, but I want to be fight MMA. What do you think about? And he said, man, if that's what you want to fight, let's do it. And you have a lot of talent for that. I can see you're gonna doing very well in MMA too. And then have one fight there. And I think that time he didn't know me very well yet, because a lot of guys are tough guys, but when they say fight, they're not tough anymore. This happened many times in my life in jiu-jitsu, MMA. A lot of guys say, I want to fight, I want to do an MMA fight, UFC fight. But many times I say to the guy, man, I have a fight for you, everybody. Or I heard someone tell them they have a fight, and the guys quit about the fight. They really don't want to fight, because it's not easy to go on the ring, on the cage. It's not for everybody, right? And then one day, Draculino was on the mat. Somebody called him, and Draculino said, man, I need someone, guys, for fighting the Grand Prix, 3 fights in one night, in 1 month, 2 months, I'm not sure. Who's able to fight? And I look to the guys, have a lot of tough guys, you know, and nobody say nothing. I say, oh, I can go. I raise my hand, and Draculino said, man, it's 3 fights in one night. Do you think you can do it? I say, yeah, if you say I'm ready, I'm ready. I can do it. And Draculino said, okay, let's do it. And then we, for like a 1 month, was like a short notice. That's why almost nobody want to go.
Let me interrupt. So May 6, 2012, Championship Night 12. It's a 4-man tournament. That's what you're talking about. Emerson Avila is your first opponent. And Walter Luis de Silva, he's from Team Moda. And our Moda team is Luisino. Those are your two opponents. What's it like? Dude, this is it. This is it. So the walk into the arena, how do you feel?
Right. Okay. Supposed to be 3 fights. And then when we got there, they changed for 2 fights. Right. But supposed to be 3. And then one thing was funny. I was training very hard for a month to prepare for this fight. And then I fought Saturday. And then on Tuesday, Draculino arrived there in the academy. And I was laid down on the mat. I said, master, I'm done. I'm not going to train anymore. He said, huh? You're not going to train anymore? I said, no. I say, but you're going to fight. And I say, no, fight for sure. But I'm tired to train. You know, now I need to train light. And that time I say, man, he doesn't know me very well, because he thought that I'm going to quit, you know? Because I say, you're not going to train. He say, you're not going to fight. You're not going to train, but you're going to fight. I say, no, I'm going to fight, but I don't want to train hard anymore. And then he say, okay. And then get the day of the fight. I went to the arena. I was very nervous. Was me, Draculino, and my Muay Thai coach, Olimpio Cunha. He's an amazing Muay Thai coach. And then before my first fight, a fight against Emerson Naja, he was the main of the tournament. Everybody just talk about him, great Muay Thai. And then I remember I put my leg, I was shaking my arms, my legs. And then Olimpio says, Sapo, come on here, let me pass the oil on your leg, you know, to warm up. And I say, oh my God, you know, he's going to see that I'm shaking. And I say, coach, let me tell you one thing. I'm shaking, but I'm good. You know, don't worry, I'm good. He says, no, man, don't worry. It's like that. It's part of the game. No, it's normal getting nervous. It's normal getting shaky. Don't worry. And then I put my leg on top of the chair there, and my leg was like this, you know, shaking a lot. I say, Sapo, don't worry, man. You know, I know you like that. It's your day. Don't worry. Draculino, just look like that, you know. And then I went there. And it was a great feeling when I get on the ring. It was an amazing feeling. When they announced my name, announced the guy's name, I say, man, that's one of the best feeling ever. And when Draculino, I think I got his respect. When I beat the guy, I finished him, I think the real naked choke, on the first round, was fast. When I start 2 minutes, thank you. And I start to celebrate, and Draculino come to me and say, how you feel? Because you have one more. I said, Draculino, that's my life. I love that, and I'm going to do this forever, you know? That's, I think, when I got his respect.
So he was worried that you were having an adrenaline dump. Don't be screaming too much. Not too much energy. Not yet.
Not yet, because I didn't finish yet, right? I have one more fight. And he wants to know how I feel, you know, because it was my first fight, and I have one more. And then he was saying, man, he's probably going to fight first. And then let's see how he's going to feel to fight a second. And it was the best feeling of my life. I said, master, I burned to do that, man. I love it. Let's go to the locker room, rest, and be ready for the next one. That moment, I think I got his respect. I think that moment changed everything.
He saw you under fire. He knew what he had.
Yes, yes. He knew what I had, he had on his hands. You know, my Muay Thai coach, Shu. I think that was a huge point of my career with him.
So you go into the locker room. You've got a second fight coming out. Walter Luiz da Silva, Moda Team, Luizino. That's your second opponent. You get your hand raised again.
Yes, it was funny. I was in the locker room, and then he's a big black guy, a strong guy, you know. I was in the locker room waiting for the next opponent, and he fought, and he came straight to my locker room. A lot of blood on him from his other fight, you know. And then I look at him, and the guy's so strong, a lot of blood on his body from his opponent. And Draculis says, Sapo, don't worry, man. Now you and him, you're going to beat him up. Don't worry. Say, okay, I'm not worried. Okay, I was, of course, I was nervous. And then we come back for the second fight. And then it was a war, I think, in the first round. And I think I finished him on the second round with the Americana on the mount.
Americana. So
yes,
you win your first tournament. What is the family? Do you tell your family or do you lie to them and tell them you're not fighting?
I know. I told them. I told them. My mom have a hard time because before I doing a martial arts, I used to work with my mom. My family have a store. My mom have a store, sell clothes, shoes. And I start capoeira. And before capoeira, I was 12 years old. I start to work with my mom. So I was doing very well on the store. As a 16 years old, I become a manager of the store. We have like 10 employers, and I become a manager. I was very young. And when I made 18, I opened my own store with her and one of my aunt. So I was doing great. I was doing successful, have my own store, have my things already built up, my career there on the store. And when I turned 20, that I started training jiu-jitsu, I told my mom, I said, Mom, sorry, but I don't wanna work here anymore. I wanna sell my store. And she said, why? I say, I wanna be a fighter. She said, fighter? What are you talking about? I say, yeah, I wanna fight. You know, I wanna fight, I wanna be a fighter. And that was a hard time. She gave me a hard time because it was danger, right? And I have one solid career already as on the store. So she said, listen, in 10 years, if you don't have money, if you don't have nothing, are you going to be okay? I say, yes, I want to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I want to try. You know, that's my dream. And she was more afraid about I have an injury, you know, more afraid that because a dangerous sport, more about that. But and then when she saw that I really decided to be a fighter, and then she supported me a lot. And then she didn't went to this fight, but she went to my third fight. Without saying nothing to me, she went with my stepfather and watched my fight there and celebrate my victory. So I tell them everybody right after the fight, I called them. This fight finished 5 a.m. in Brazil. It was crazy. So I called them right away and we celebrate. You know, it was great. It was an amazing feeling.
One of your training partners has been Gunnar Nelson.
Yes.
What was your experience like on the mat with him?
Man, he's a pretty tough guy. When I arrived in New York in 2008, he was here already. And we started training together. We started to become very close pretty fast, you know, because he's such a nice guy. And we started to have a lot of connect because I used to train a lot and he's trained a lot too. Very, very hard work guy. And we started to have a training together. Very tough guy, great jiu-jitsu, great wrestling, very flexible guy, very strong. And we trained a lot of jiu-jitsu MMA, man. A lot of wars, a lot of battles on the mat, you know. It was a great training partner that I used to have and a great friend.
Okay. So your training partners that I've talked to, as well as Draculino, all of them say your drive and work ethic is the biggest strength that you have. Like you can't quit. Like you don't know that word. Where does that come from?
Man, I don't know. I think I'm from my family. You know, I have a pretty tough family that come from a pretty tough life. My
Let me help.
Yeah.
Draculino, how many students has he had, do you think? Thousands.
Thousands around the world. Thousands.
When I brought your name up, he said, out of everybody I have ever coached, nobody, like not close, had the drive, the discipline, the ethics that Sapo had. Nobody. Dude, Draculino has raised many world champions. That's crazy.
That's crazy. I saw his interview today that you made with him. He gave a lot of interview, a lot of podcasts, and I saw this today, and I text him, and he always have opportunity to talk about this, about me, right? And man, I think this comes from my family. My family comes from a really poor situation. My mom born on the farm. She didn't born on the hospital, right? She didn't born on the farm. And my father comes from a really poor family too. And I saw a lot of this, you know, when I born, when I was like 8, 6, 5 years old, we still was very, very poor. You know, we have a hard time, of course. I always have something to eat, of course, thank God. But my mom and my father always work very hard. And I knew where they come from, right? And I knew everything. I saw everything. My grandfather from my mom, my mom's parents come from the farm, from nothing to the Belo Horizonte, you know, to try their life. And they work very hard to give a better situation for our family. And the same situation for my father, my grandfather from my father's parents, right? My grandfather used to be, he's a retired cop, right? And he used to be like one of the toughest cops in Belo Horizonte, you know? So he used to be a boxer. He's a black belt in judo. And you should be very tough. So I think this comes from my family. My mom's family, my father's family. I have my uncles, they are judo black belts. My grandfather is a judo black belt. And my mom's family, they fight a lot, but it's not on the mat, outside, you know, to give the children a better life. So I think that's come from them. That was a perfect combination. How about never quit on the life, you know? I think that's where I come from. That's what made me my person.
So, example, you watched your mom from a very poor farm to having her own store. She led by example.
Yes, I think that's what I always try to do. You know, lead by example. My mom is unbelievable. My parents they separated when I was 10 years old, and after that, my father always was present, always was around me, but I lived with my mom, and we decided she make a deal with me for we be the best friends ever. And she's my the best friend, you know, everything of my life, about everything she knows about me. So this make me very, very strong, you know, have the confidence of my mom. I tell her everything about my life. A lot of people, a lot of like a girlfriends complain, but it's hard to tell that for my mom. I say, she's so sorry, but she knows about everything about me. So I think this helped me a lot, you know. My father always support me, always bring me to support me as a fighter. So I came from a really, really good family, you know. So I was very blessed. Everything's come from my family. My base is my family. So that's I think I'm strong because I always believe on them and they always believe on me. So I think that's what makes me what I am.
That's good. So it was just a kind of little. Correction, May 6, 2005 was your first tournament. So in our podcast, Sapo, there's certain boxes that you have to check to be a true veteran of the sport. You got to fight in a tournament. You have to. You have to do it at least one time because they don't do it today. And it's something that is no longer in existence, but there's a big difference between people that have done that as compared to some of the really good fighters today.
Sorry, I didn't get it. What do you mean? Sorry.
You check the box of fighting in a tournament. Not many people do that.
And I fought two, huh?
Yes, you've got two. One wasn't enough. So
right.
Your second fight was against... Of course. Your second fight was against Carlitos Eduardo Santos. Chino, he goes by, and it's from Troop Combat. It's a respected gym. There's a lot of fighters that come out of there in Brazil. When did you feel like that the moment where you could actually fight at the levels where people watch you on TV? When was the moment?
Stay true for you. After I start training with Draculino, I start training with like a professional guys. Sounds a little bit arrogant, I don't know. But I always believe that I'm going to get there. I always believe that I'm going to be like a world champ. I always believe that I'm going to have the world champion, UFC champion. Didn't happen, but I always believe that I'm going to be one of the best. You know, I always train a lot. And when I started training like against tough guys, I started doing well. One thing that helped me a lot of my career, we don't talk about training, but one thing that makes me very confident, it's hard, I'm going to say that, but I trained with one of the legends of our sport. The first time when I trained with Vitor Belfort.
How old was Vitor at the time?
Man, I don't remember. He didn't, probably around 30, something like that.
Okay.
He was on his prime, of course. He was on his prime. He was a champ, and then he come down, and then he started to come again, and then Draculino started to teach him, you know? And I was a big fan of him. And then he came to train at Draculino's school with Draculino, but he wanted to train on his own place in Belo Horizonte. And then I remember Draculino saying, guys, it was Friday, Vitor Belfort shows up on the train. I say, man, my God, Vitor Belfort is here, man. I was a huge fan. And then Draculino say, man, guys, I need someone to train with Vitor tomorrow. Vitor was laughing already. And then I at that time, I didn't have any fight yet. And then nobody raised their hand. I say, tomorrow, my coach, what time? Oh, tomorrow, 10 o'clock. I say, I can go. And Draculino say, you're going to train with Vitor tomorrow, 10 o'clock. I say, yeah, I can go. And then Draculino, okay, see you tomorrow, 10 o'clock at the other academy. I say, all right. And then when Draculino left, a lot of friends of mine, professional fighters, they say, Sapo, man, this guy is a Vitor Belfort. If you train with him like you train with us, he's going to take your head out, man. He's going to beat you up bad. And I didn't say nothing. I say, okay, I say, man, he's a man like me, you know? Okay, you're going to train hard. Let's see what's happened. And then I show up there for training, and we did amazing training. You know, we have a great training. I'm not going to mention how was the training, but after we finished the first round, and then Vitor was there, and he did one round with somebody else, and then Draculino says, ah, he said that you're going to be the second one. I said, okay. And then I did one second round with him, and we have a war. And then when we finished the rounds.
Was he a good training partner or was he very aggressive?
He was good. He was not that bad. He was okay. He was good. He was good.
He wasn't trying to murder you. He wasn't trying to murder you. He was a good one.
Yeah, he was a good one.
Okay.
Especially because Draculino, you know, he have to respect Draculino because Draculino, man, yes. So. Man, when he put me made a round with him, I did one round of 5 minutes with him and it was a war. When I finished the round, all of his coaches come and say to Draculino, who is this guy, man? And Draculino say, man, this is Sapo, man. He doesn't respect nobody. You know, he training hard. He's a very nice kid, very respectful. But if you put on the ring or the cage, he's not going to respect nobody. And then Draculino say, man, you training very good. Congratulations. At that time, I say, man, I can do this very well. I can be one of the best in the world. You know, that gave me a lot of confidence when I trained with Vitor. That was the point that I confirmed for myself that I couldn't do well.
When you look at your record, your fourth fight, May 20, 2006, Gold Fighters Championship, Danilo Villafort. This guy's 4-0. He's Rodrigo Nogueira's godson. Later goes to the Black Zillions. Goes by Indio. That guy, at this time in your career, people must have been telling you the same thing. Like, he's very dangerous, very dangerous.
Yeah. Listen, this fight against, before Indio, this fight against Carlos dos Santos, have this fight in on the YouTube. When I moved to New York and I want to have a fight here, everybody watch this fight and say, man, I don't know this guy. The guy, I have a fight and they watch on the YouTube, they watch this fight and they don't want to fight with me anymore. And then Ali Abdelaziz, you should be my great friend and a manager. He says, Sapo, man, you have to take this fight out of the YouTube, man. The people watch this fight and they don't want to fight with you because it was a war. It was a war. It's a really crazy fight. But then I was in the academy training. I just arrived for one jiu-jitsu tournament, the National Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Tournament. And I told Draculino, it was like a Monday. I said, Master, I think I'm going to rest a little bit. I'm too tired from the tournament. I think I'm going to take 1 week off. Draculino, okay, if you want, take them off. If you feel tired, I say, I think I need it. And then somebody called Draculino. Draculino, somebody have an injury here. We need someone to fight Saturday. That was Monday. Saturday against Danilo Villafor Angel. You have someone there. And again, Draculino asked, guys, I need someone to fight against Angel. And the people, we know him, right? Because Minotauro, BTT. And nobody say nothing. I say, well, Messi, I can fight. I can fight. And Draculino said, man, you just say that you tie, you want to rest. I say, from jiu-jitsu, for MMA, I'm ready. I can fight tomorrow. And he was to be like 4-0. And everybody starts to talk about he's going to fight in Pride.
His judo, black belt in judo, very respected black belt in judo as well.
Yes. And then the people say, Sapo, I knew that everybody said that he's always going to fight in Pride. But I said, and Draculino said, Sapo, he's a tough guy, but I think you can beat him. You can beat him, but you feel good. Your body's good. I say, yes, my body's good. And I used to fight. My three first fights was 205. And then this fight, I was heavier, right? I was around 205. And this fight against India supposed to be, I think, 82. Yes. And then they say, Sapo, you how is your weight now? I think I was around like a 200, 82 kilos, sorry. And I was 200. And they say, the fight against him is going to be like a 180, something like that, because it was in kilos, right? And then I say, Draculino, tell them that I can fight, but I need to be like a 190. I can drop on 180. And then Draculino here, they talk to the guys there and they say, man, Sapo just made like a 190. He say, who? Yeah, the guy that I have for you, Sapo. The guy, whatever he wants, 190 is okay. And then Draculino told me that. He said, Sapo, he says okay. 190 is okay. I say, okay, so I can make 190. And we went there, man. Draculino says, Sapo, don't worry. On his corner, gonna be probably Minotauro, Bebel, Murilo Bustamante. He's gonna be like that. And I said, yeah, but on my corner is gonna be you, man. So and what? No problem. And then I went there and knocked him out. You know, it was an amazing night. I broke my hand at that night. I broke my hand three times already. And that night I broke my hand too, was punched on the head, and I beat him, you know. It was a good fight.
So you broke your hand prior to this as well?
No, during the fight.
But you, because you broke your hand against Robert Whittaker, you broke your hand a few times, even in the yeah. UFC. So was this the first time?
No, that was, man, how's the order of my fights? I fight against the Grand Prix first, and then Carlos Eduardo, and then was Danilo Indio. Yeah, okay. That was the first fight I broke my hand.
Okay.
First time.
Because it's happened a few times. Yeah.
A few times. Three times. That was the first one.
Okay. So after that, you go into another tournament.
Exactly. That's crazy, huh? That was crazy.
So April 29, 2007, XFC 10. It's another four-man tournament. Nelson Bahia and then Gershino da Silva. Gershino da Silva is from the Brazilian top team, so it's like you're getting another Murilo Bustamante guy in front of you.
Yeah. This tournament, Draculino couldn't go with me, man. It was tough. Draculio couldn't go with me. He had some, he wasn't that one. I'm not sure. No, it's another one that he didn't win. This fight, Draculio was with me. And then me and Mamute fought the same night, my training partner, right, on the Grand Prix. Draculio was there. And I have the first fight against Nailson Bahia, I think it's that. And I beat the guy, but I broke my hand on the first punch on the fight. I broke my hand again. First punch. I punched the guy and take him down. And then I realized my hand was broke. And then I finished him, finished the guy. And then I was to have another fight. Right? And then I was to the corner. And Draculio, you okay? I say, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. And we went to the locker room. I said, Draculio, I broke my hand. He said, no way. I said, yeah, I broke my hand again. And he said, okay, let's tell the guy. I said, no, I want to fight. And he said, man, you broke the hand. I said, yeah, no, I want to fight, man. I want to fight. Because this tournament, the guy that won supposed to make $1,000, that was like 2007, right?
Oof.
$1,000. And the guy say, if you won this tournament, you're going to fight in Japan, something like that. And then I told Draculio, no, I'm going to fight with this hand. And Draculio, Sapo, come on, man, that's not smart, you know? I said, no, I want to fight. And he said, okay, it's your decision. If you want to fight, so no, I'm going to fight, don't worry. I'm going to fight and I'm going to do well. He said, okay. And I say for him, don't say nothing for the guy, you know, don't say nothing for nobody. Keep that between us. And I fought like 3 hours later. I remember it was pretty late and my hand started to pain a lot, such a guy is rolling, you know, Draculio saw my hand and said, Sapo, are you sure? I said, no, I'm going to fight. And then the guy that won on the other side of the tournament, he hurt his rib. He's hurt his rib. He won and he hurt his rib. And then he said, oh, no, the guy won, but he's not going to fight because he's hurt his rib. So we're going to come back to the guy that lost for him. And I say, man, the guy doesn't want to fight because he lost his rib. I broke my hand and I'm going to fight, you know? And then I went to the final and I beat the guy just with one hand, you know? I keep my left hand, my right hand, hide my right hand and hit him a lot with my left hand. And when I have opportunity, I throw my right hand too, of course. Was a hard time. I think it was just one round of 10 minutes. Was crazy. Really crazy. One of the guys there was Draculio's friend, and the guy know that I have a great jiu-jitsu. And then he said, Sapo, jiu-jitsu, man, do jiu-jitsu. But I couldn't do jiu-jitsu. I don't have a grip. I couldn't do jiu-jitsu. And then after the fight, he come to my locker room and say, Sapo, you won, man, but what is your jiu-jitsu? Have a great jiu-jitsu. And then when I took the gloves out, his name is Cabelinho, one of the great referees from the BJJF. When I took my glove out, he saw my hand and said, my God, that was before of the fight. They say, yeah, that's my, I couldn't do jiu-jitsu. My hand was broke. And he's getting very impressive, you know, man. I want this one too.
Your first tournament, what did you get paid for it?
1,000 reais.
So you still, okay, oh, that's not $1,000.
That's
okay.
No, yeah. But man, for me was great. Make 1,000 at that time, because everybody fight for like a 300, 200. When they offer for me like 1,400, something like that. And how they, because supposed to be three fights, and then they drop for two fights, and then I make 1,000 reais.
You times. You'd mentioned Ali Abadiz. So Ali, did you meet him through David Branch or Ricardo Almeida? Because I know you were training with David Branch when he fought Lewis Taylor.
Lewis Taylor, I don't remember that his fights. But I trained him since the first fight, MMA fight with him. When was this fight?
Let me pull it up. I don't have it in front of me, but I know he fought. Here it is right here. I got it right here. Lewis Taylor beat David Branch, and I know you were part of his training camp because I remember seeing you in some of the videos. That was December 31st, 2016, on the Gaethje Firmino undercard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I started training with him since 2008. When I moved to here, I started training with David Branch, and we train a lot together. Jiu-Jitsu, MMA, one of my main training partners here.
Who introduced you to Ali?
Man, Ali, when I arrive in New York, okay, when I arrive in New York, nobody likes him here because he talks a lot. He talks a lot. He bothers the people. He always talks a lot, very imperative. And the people doesn't like him too much because he talks a lot. And when I arrived in New York, he knew that I was a fighter. He watched my fights before that. And he got impressed, especially with this fight that I told you on the YouTube, right? And then when I arrived in New York, he helps me a lot. He helps in everything, you know? You used to walk together, hang out together. And then Hanzo and the other guys saw that he was very nice to me. And I have a good relationship with him. And then the guy started to be friend of him. But that was after I get in New York. You know, that's how I arrived in New York. He trained at Hanzo already, but he didn't was close to nobody, including Hanzo. He didn't was close to nobody in 2008. I become a friend of him, and then he helped me like in everything, tried to find a fight for me. We walked together, hang out together. And as soon as I arrived in New York, I become a great friend of the guys. And then Ali become a friend of them, close friends of them.
So I saw Ali at the ABCs in Nevada. And the people that don't like Ali are not managed by him. You cannot find one person that's ever been managed by Ali that says negative things.
Man, he's amazing. He's amazing. He's like that. Great friend. I always was a great friend of mine. He have my fights, you know. He put me in UFC. He support me a lot. I used to sleep in his place sometimes, you know. We used to hang out a lot together, a lot, before he become a manager. So he's a great friend of mine, and he always was a very, very nice guy to me. Always, you know. Yeah. We must talk today about staph infection. And then I remember, we talk about this today, I remember my first staph infection, I have three times. And one time, the first time was really bad. I moved to New York. I didn't know what is that. And I was at home. I always train a lot. I was at home like my leg was bad. I started to have a fever. And I didn't train for 2 days. I didn't went to the academy. That was like a Saturday, Sunday. And then Monday and Tuesday, I didn't show up at the academy. The people called me. I didn't answer. And then Ali went to my place. And I answered the phone from the house. I say, yes. I say, Sapo, it's Ali, man. I call you, never answer. I want to come up. I said, okay, come up. And then he come up to my apartment, and then he saw my leg. I said, man, what is that? That's a staph infection. You crazy. I say, no, that's going to be okay. He said, no, it's not going to be okay. I couldn't walk. He put me on his back, right, dropped me on the stairs, three floors, and took me to the hospital. You know, that's how nice this guy are. He took me on his back to the stars, take the cab with me, went to the hospital, stay all night with me. And then they drained my leg. They helped me. It was Ali that supported me a lot, in a lot of things. And that time he didn't was a manager. He started to try to find a fight for me because he was a friend about with everybody, have a lot of contacts. But he's such a nice guy. And man, we are pretty close, you know, and I own him a lot. He made a lot for me.
I like the guy. I got no issue with him. You know,
amazing.
I have no issue with them. One of the interesting things too is this is your independent career. This is the time where you're supposed to be maybe a little safe, relax a little bit. Your next opponent is Silmar Rodrigo. He's 11-3 with a win over Joel Oliveira. Joel Oliveira is a man.
Yeah,
he's
fucking dried, right?
Yeah, Lucha Libre, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's not an easy fight either. Like, you're not staying away from hard fights at this point.
Yeah, man, I always love to fight, no matter who. And I always believe in me a lot, you know? When I fought Silmar Rodriguez, we fought in MT League, right? That should be like an MT League. You should be an organization that have a different codes. Murilo Bustamante, Vanderlei Silva, and two more coaches. And they give them some fighters, and the coach picks some guys. And Vanderlei Silva picked me for his team. And then it was just for like a merchandise, of course. I trained with Draculino, And but I was represented the Vanderlei Silva team, right? Like Silmar Rodriguez, I think he represents Murilo Bustamante team, right? And then they put this fight, and then I was ready. My team lost, right? Because it was five fights, and we lost like 3-2. And I won my fight. I beat Silmar Rodriguez. It was a crazy fight. After I beat him, we were celebrating this fight on the locker room, and then Vanderlei Silva says, "Draculino, this is amazing black belt, man. What a black belt." And Draculino says, No. He's a purple belt." And then Vanderlei say, "Purple belt? No. So let's give him a brown belt now, man." Draculino, "No, man. It's not time yet. Wait a little bit," because it was a war. It was a great fight. He's a pretty tough guy, you know. It was amazing fight. It was a very, very funny story about this fight, about the belt that Wanderlei want to give me, you know. It was funny.
So Wanderlei Silva is telling Draculino to do the right thing. Give him his brown belt.
Yeah, because he thought that was a black belt and it was still purple, you know. It was funny.
Part of the game, and it's not an easy part, is dealing with your first loss. July 12, 2008, Fury FC in Rio de Janeiro, Eduardo Teles. He's out of 99 Jiu-Jitsu. How was he dealing with that?
Man, that was brought me to New York. At that fight, Draculino moved to Texas in January, something like that, right? At that year. Yeah. And then I say, "Master, but I'm going to stay here without you. It's going to be hard." And he says, "Sapo, don't worry, man. We have a good team here. Take your time, and then we're going to talk later. Don't worry." And then I was like a 7-0, was doing great. I was very confident. I say, "Man, have nobody to beat me. You know, if I keep playing like that, I'm going to beat everybody." Blah, blah, blah. And then they have this fight for me. It should be a big fight, right? I was very excited about this fight with André Telles.
We're talking about Eduardo Telles.
Eduardo Telles.
Yes.
And then Eduardo Telles, then I say, "Man, okay, it's a good fight. He's a jiu-jitsu guy. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy too. I'm a purple belt, but I have a good jiu-jitsu and I have a good strike, you know. So we're gonna be a good fight." And then I have my coach. That was the first fight Draculino didn't was with me because he was moved to Texas already. And then that night, I thought the guy going to try to take me down. And it was the beginning of the fight. He gave one head kick and knocked me out. I remember to wake up. I remember when I wake up and look at that, I say, "What happened, the guy? He knocked you out." And it was a tough night. It was a really tough night, my first loss. And I remember after getting outside the ring, I go to my locker room. Right away, I take my phone and call Draculino. I say, "Master, I'm not going to stay here without you in Brazil, man. I need to go to train with you there. I cannot stay without you." So I say, "Sap, don't worry, man. This happens. You know, if you're going to fight, you're going to win and you're going to lose. Don't worry. Take your time. Keep calm." You know, I say, No. "I will not going to stay in Brazil without you." You know? And I say, "No, okay. Don't worry. This happens. Part of the game." Blah, 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 blah. I say, "Okay." He say, "Let's talk later. Rest, recover. Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm okay." "Okay, let's talk later." And then 1 week later, I call him again and say, "What are you going to do?" I say, "Why?" I say, "I'm not going to stay here. No way." And then he was in Texas just for 6 months. He said, "Sal, have nobody for training here yet. I don't have a team for you training yet. So what I'm going to tell you, go to New York. Going to have the No-Gi Pan Ams in September. Go to New York. You have a visa. I stay there, fight the Pan Ams. I'm going to tell Hanzo that you go there. I'm going to tell Ricardo that you go there. And then you stay there for a month, see how it's going to be. And then we talk again. And then everything's happening in New York."
Okay. So your first coach loves you and says, "Brother, you've got to go to Draculino." Now, Draculino has got about a dozen world champions. He's got about a dozen people that have fought in the UFC, and is certainly somebody that people will say, "Well, he is not a coach. He's a big game hunter. He looks for big prizes." No. Draculino takes people from their white belt to their black belt. And in your case, he is not selfish. He leads by example.
Exactly, man. He always was like that.
Dude.
He always was like that. The more you hear about him, more you're going to be surprised about him. More you're going to like this guy. It's unbelievable. Draculino, man, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. What he made for my career, I don't know. I have one tattoo here, loyalty and gratitude, Vinicius Draculino. That's what my tattoo have because he is unbelievable. You know, he's, I'm going to his place sometimes, stay with his wife, with his kids. You know, I know them very well. My wife loves him. Sometimes he comes to New York too because his daughter lives here. And he's come to my place and we always hang out together. He's a gift from God for me. You know, he's an amazing guy.
So we've done almost 200 interviews. He's one of my top five ever. It's just, he's a legend.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. Absolute legend. Yeah.
But inside of the mat and outside of the mat, a great father, a great husband, amazing friend. He's unbelievable. He's the truth. You know what he tells for you is the truth. He doesn't, I was listening to your interview with him. And you mentioned some guys, and he always say the truth. He never say, oh, this is a very nice guy. He doesn't like the guy too much. He doesn't say, oh, that's a nice guy. He doesn't say that. Ah, the guy's tough. The guy's this. The guy's that. He's always say the truth. He's not a fake guy. He's going to tell the truth doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter what. You mention about one guy on the interview. I say, okay, I want to hear what he's going to say about this guy. And he say, oh, it's this, and that. And that's it. So he always like that.
So there was like five people I have on the list that I know that he would just kind of, and I'm like, you know, this is a very nice feeling interview. I take those names away. Let's not.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that because he's going to say the truth. You know, he's not going to lie. You know, he's unbelievable.
So he got you your first fight in Texas, November 18, 2008, against John Kirk, this SWC battleground. John Kirk is 11-4. You're in the United States. You don't speak English. Draculino's using favors to put you on the card because you're not a ticket seller. So you're coming in as the B-side.
Yeah. It was a great one. Ali got this fight for me. You know, Ali, I think that's the first fight that he fight for someone.
Ali got that for you?
Ali got this fight for me. I think it was the first fight that he get for somebody. He said, Sapo, I got the fight for you. Going to be in Dallas, you know. And then I called Draculino right away for Draculino. I'm going to fight in Dallas, but just if you can go. And Draculino said, no, I'm there. Let's go. Draculino went with his family. Igor and Jade, his daughter and his son was there. And I think his wife, Monica, they went, all of them went there. He stayed on my corner, and I had a great night and beat this guy. You know, it was an amazing experience. The main event of the show was great one, you know. Chico, one of my great friends here, one of the main guys that brought me to New York, he was with me too. So it was a great night, my first fight in USA.
It's incredible. It's not only incredible, but it's you come in as not the favorite. Like John Kirk was a local guy, so they wanted him to win. So it makes it even harder. Those are very, very difficult fights.
I got the wrong guy, man.
Lou Neglia, how was your dealings with him as a promoter?
Man, he's an amazing guy. You know, I fought in Ring of Combat four or five times. And he always was a very nice guy to me. He always gave me a huge opportunity there. And it was a great time to fought there. You know, I was very blessed to have there. Ali Abdelaziz got my fight in Dallas, right? John Kirk. And then Ricardo Almeida's wife got the contract with Lou Negas for me. She was a star to be a manager. Ali Almeida, her name. She's a very nice person, like a Ricardo. And she went to say, Sap, you want to fight? I used to go to Ricardo to train with him. I say, yeah, I want to fight. You know, I want to live in New York. I fought first. I said, okay, I can try to work for you. I said, yeah. And then she got the contract for me. I was in Brazil. And then she calls me and she says, Sap, I have the contract for you. Four fights in the Ring of Combat. And she got this contract to me. It was Ali Almeida.
Ring of Combat, excellent, excellent promotion. But you're in New York, and your first opponent is from Brazil.
Alexandre Moreno, right?
Yeah, Moreno. He's Brazilian, right? Living in
Massachusetts. Yeah, he's Brazilian. He's Brazilian. Very tough guy.
I mean, it was tough, but I mean, you got out in one round, a knockout.
Yeah, I think that I was talking to Renzo, and Renzo said, Sapo, man, this guy is jiu-jitsu guy. You are jiu-jitsu guy to fake that you go to his leg and throw the overhand. And that was exactly what happens. Renzo told me this on the Akari before I leave to the fight. The fight was, I think, Saturday or Friday, I'm not sure. And then 2 days, one day before I leave to the fight, Renzo told me that. Say, man, you have a tough fight, but fake that you go to the leg, throw the overhand, you're going to knock him out. It was exactly what happened.
Renzo's a savage.
Unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
What was your first impression of him at the gym?
Man, Draculino told me I never met him before I came to New York. And then I came here. And then first time that I saw on the Academy, I said, man, how are you doing? I was very friendly. Looked like he knew me from forever. Right? Draculino told me about you. I heard about you. You're a very tough guy. This is your home. This is your house. So train here, do whatever you want. If you need anything, let me know. And man, that was my first contact with him, you know? And he asked me, you come to stay here for fight the tournament, the Pan Am, and you're going to stay here. What's your plan? I said, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to see what's happening. I said, man, here's your house, Rafa. Stay here with us. Going to be good for you. Stay here with us. We're going to have a great things for you here. That's my first time that I met Renzo, man. It's unbelievable.
If you look at Renzo's gym, all of their champions started there. They never brought them in from anywhere else. Aljamain Sterling, obviously Matt Serra, they all started there, man. All of them.
Chris Weidman, it's unbelievable.
I mean, how was he as a training partner, Chris Weidman?
Amazing. Great guy. All these guys are great guys. You know, most of the jiu-jitsu guys, they are nice, you know. I think sometimes on the wrestlers or Muay Thai or boxing, it's easier to find someone like it's not that nice. But jiu-jitsu, it's hard. Most of the guys, I think they are very friendly, they are very nice. And I mean, not just to me, you know, but with everybody, they are very, very friendly, they are very nice guys.
Your wrestling, if you were to look at a weak point of somebody that comes from the jiu-jitsu background, they always point at wrestling. Your wrestling is very high level. Where did that come in?
Man, I think it comes from capoeira. I think this comes from capoeira. When the jiu-jitsu guys start to try to take me down, I start to train with my guys there. Nobody knows wrestling, but we start to train for the people don't take us down. And then we start to train when I was still in capoeira. And then I started training jiu-jitsu, and I had this a little bit training already. And I think this beginning helps me a lot when I used to train for the judo jiu-jitsu guys. Don't take me down. And then, of course, I started training with Draculino, and he helps me a lot, you know. But come start beginning at the capoeira, because I didn't want the jiu-jitsu guys take me down. And then I started to wrestle with Draculino, and we have a lot of great training partners there. And then I moved to New York, and I started to train with Mario Mercado. He's an amazing wrestler here. Hamid is one of his coach. And then I started training at Edge in Hoboken. Amazing, amazing wrestling place there, you know. And then my wrestling started to be even stronger.
Your next opponent is from the Macaco Top, from Macaco's gym, Plinio Cruz. Brother, man, he's got a 500 record, but he's one of those guys that he's a bull. Like, he's not an easy opponent, although his record is deceiving.
Yes, against the Brazilian guy, you know, I fought with him. He's a very tough guy. It was a really tough fight, but man, we always watch the war, you know. It was a great victory on him. Now he's coach of Pereira, right? He's an amazing coach, such coach, a lot of tough guys. He at that time he already have a great stand-up, a great jiu-jitsu, you know, great guy too. And it was a war.
He's a better coach, you know, than he was on his fight record. Macaco Gold Team. Anybody riding with Macaco with his name on it, bro, they got my respect.
You know how they are.
Victor O'Donnell, he's 7-0. Man, it's like you get to a certain level, and it's just like you kind of you get knocked down a little bit.
Man, this fight, say truth for you what happens, okay? This fight, Ali told me, say, Sapo, if you beat this guy, you're going to be in UFC. And I say, okay, I'm going to beat this guy, and I'm going to be in UFC. And then, 3 days before this fight, I hurt my knee. I hurt my knee. I couldn't train well. I couldn't lose weight. And then I went to Atlantic City by myself because my Draculino couldn't go for this fight. I used to train F more with Ricardo Almeida. Draculino couldn't go for this fight. And then nobody knew that I have an injury. I didn't tell nobody. And because I have a chance to fight in UFC, I said, man, I'm going to beat this guy, you know? And then I stay on my room without eating nothing, without exercise, for I made the weight. And then I went to fight with him, okay? I was very weak because I didn't eat almost nothing. So this guy dropped me 3 times in the first round. I was fighting with him. I was in strike with him. I was weak because of the diet, right? And then 3 times that he punched me, he dropped me 3 times. But we scramble. And on the end of the fight, I finish on top. I was good. I help the rounds finish. I help him to stand up, pick him, stand him up. And then I went to my corner. The doctor come to my corner and try to talk to me. I didn't speak English at that time. I didn't understand what he say. And I didn't answer. And he asked problem, of course. He say, are you okay? I say, and I look at other face because I didn't want to look at him because I didn't speak English at that time. I couldn't understand what he say. He asked me 3 times. I couldn't answer because I didn't understand. And I looked to somebody else because I didn't want to look to him. And then he asked to stop the fight. That's how I lost for him.
There's no video hard. On this. There's no video Man. On this online, and it says doctor stoppage. I figured it was a cut.
It was horrible. I say, man, I'm good. I don't know. And he said, no. The guy, the doctor tried to talk to him. He never answered. And then the guy translated this for me. I say, yeah, I'm going to answer. I don't speak English. And then they stopped the fight. I helped Victor O'Donnell stand up. And after the fight, he said, man, I'm sorry. I know. But don't worry. I'm going to give you the rematch. And of course, now they give me. He's smart. And that was what happened this fight. I never have the excuse for my loss, you know, but that was really what happened that fight. That's crazy.
Victor O'Donnell went on to Bellator, did a couple fights in Bellator, finished with an 11-4 record. Very solid, very solid opponent.
And he really heavy hands.
Yeah.
Really heavy. He dropped few guys. But me, of course, but I was like, I couldn't eat, so I was very, very weak. He dropped me 3 times in the first round, you know, but I was feeling good. And then that's what happened.
When you walk to the ring, what are you saying in your head?
What do you mean? Before the fight or that fight?
Before, when you walk to the ring, you have to have something that is going on in your head.
In every fight?
On the way to the fight, any fight. You can tell it's the same thing that you're doing in your head.
Yeah, man, I don't think too much. I think about kill someone, you know. I'm going to say, man, I'm going to beat this guy bad. I always think about that. I say, man, that's what I love to do. That's another opportunity that I have to do what I love. That's what passes on my mind, you know. I have a really tough time on the morning of the fight. When I wake up, every morning I wake up was a very tough time for me. Draculino, he always was, most of my fights he was there, especially all my UFC fights, Draculino was there, and he knows that very well. I'm going to the fight like 1 week before, like 5 days before for UFC fights. I don't feel nervous, I don't feel nothing, you know? But the day of the fight, when I wake up, every time it was the same. The day of the fight, when I woke up, I say, man, what I'm doing here? One more time. I shouldn't be working with my mom at the store there, you know, with my own store. What I'm doing here? And then sometimes I tell Draculino, man, You are the biggest show in the world, UFC. You know, you are in Las Vegas, you are here and there. So celebrate. Stop with that. And he knew that he couldn't say whatever he wants, not going to help. And then I stay very nervous when I woke up until I have a lunch. After I have a lunch, and then I start to get a little bit better. And then I start to be okay again. But my toughest time always was the morning of the fight. A lot of guys come to talk to me. And at that time, Draco Neal, he always says, no, don't talk to him, you know. One of my partner from Brazil, he always comes to my fight to support me because he's very close to me, like my brother. And he knows me very well, and he always stays with me. He doesn't say nothing to me. We don't talk. He say, you need something? He say, no. Okay, I need something. He say that that's a really bad moment for me, is that the day of the fight in the morning. I really feel horrible. But on the walk-in, you know, I'm feeling great. I say, man, let's do what I love. I feel very excited. But the morning of the fight always was a really tough time for me. But when I walk into the fight, they have my music, you mention my name. I always was very excited. I was hungry to fight, you know?
Andre Guzmão.
One of the toughest guys ever that I trained, man. What a beast. Another guy. Man, my career, okay? My career, a lot of people helps me a lot. I was, I actually like that. Not about money. But on my career, I was like a homeless that asked for money. And a lot of people pass and throw their 100, 200. That was my life, my fight life. Everybody helps me a lot. In Brazil, all my teammates help me a lot. You know, Draculino's team, before my small team. When I moved to New York, everybody helped me a lot. Andre Guzmão, all the Gracie family. I have a lot of guys here. Everybody always helped me a lot. So that's make my career was easy. Andre Guzmão, when I arrived here, he brought me for training Iglesias, the boxing gym in Brooklyn. He brought many places to train with him. When I moved to New York, he was training UFC already. US fighting UFC already. So all these guys always helped me a lot. Always. I was very blessed. I always put my hand in God's hand, my life in God's hand, you know, and it's unbelievable. Everybody, all the doors open for me. Everybody want to teach me. Everybody want to support me. So that was my life. Andre Guzmão, when I arrived in New York, we become a friend right away, and he helped me a lot.
So paying rent in New York is one of the most expensive places in the world to live. You come from Brazil. Do you live in the gym or do you stay on somebody's couch?
Man, I stay in somebody's couch 1 month. His name is Alberto from Manto, black belt from Hanzo. He speaks a little bit Portuguese. And when I moved to New York, my friend Tio Chico, he's a Felipe Preguiça brother. Felipe Preguiça, many times world champion. Felipe Pena. Mm-hmm. And Tio Chico is his brother. And Tio Chico is a world champion too. I talked to Tio Chico and said, Tio Chico, I want to move to New York. You know, Draculino told me I go there and you are there. What do you think? He said, man, come here. You can live with me. And then when I arrived in New York to live with him, he said, Sapo, we're going to stay on a friend of mine. I said, man, who? I don't know the guy. No, Alberto, a great friend of mine. You know, he's an amazing guy and brought me for his place. And the guy says, Sapo, I have a couch for you here. I need to improve my Portuguese so you can live with me. So I stay with this guy for a month. I live with him on his couch. For free, of course. For free.
Man.
Yes, in New York. I tell you, everybody supports me a lot, man. That's the truth, you know?
It's not easy living in New York. It's expensive. Especially when you come from Brazil. Yeah.
Yes. And I came for a stay for 1 month, right? For make a test. And then I live on his couch for 1 month. And then I fought. During this month, I won the Pan American.
You won the Pan Americans. Is it brown belt?
Brown belt.
That's what I thought. Okay.
As a brown belt, heavyweight. And then I live with this guy for a month. And then I have the grapple squash. Right, the jiu-jitsu tournament.
Yeah.
And look what happened. And then I have this tournament. And then I went to the final to make 1,000 with Macaco.
Oh.
Imagine that I was at with Gracie family, just arrived in New York. Macaco used to be one of the bad, how to say it?
He's about the Luta Livre?
No, no. Macaco and the Gracie family always have a problem because Macaco
used to be a rivalry.
A rivalry because the High and Macaco always fight each other. And then the Gracie family doesn't used to like Macaco. And then I was in the tournament, me and Macaco in the final. Have this fight in the YouTube. And then I beat Macaco. And then, man, now the Gracie family, porra, celebrate. And I say, okay, now I'm on their hands. You know? So this opened a lot of doors for me here. Because I beat Macaco in this tournament. And I make $1,000. And I say, man, I can live in New York a little bit more. You know, if I make this money.
one more month by month,
right? And then I say, man, I want to stay more in New York. I make a money. I call my mom and say, Mom, I make some money here. I won the tournament. I'm going to stay a little bit more than 1 month. That was September. Then I stay October. And then a friends of mine, two guys from Minas Gerais, from my state too, Felipe and Thiago, they find a roommate for me. And the guy have one room for me, I live on his couch because I have one room and one living room. And then I live on his living room. I moved to there on his couch. And then after later, we put one bed. But I live with him in Astoria, Queens for a year.
Well, that's, you say move. It's one suitcase. You move your one suitcase and that's where you sleep.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And then that was like September, I stay on the guy's couch. And then October, I went to this guy's house. Stay with him October, November. And then December, I went to Brazil and say, Mom, sorry, but I just come to pick up my things, you know. I'm going to live in New York.
How was the first winter?
Man, I say true for you. Everybody say, man, the winter here is going to be tough, But for me, this doesn't bother me too much. I think it's because I always have a dream to fight. So it doesn't matter what happened, you know, nothing going to bother me. So I was in a great training for training, Draculin support me, the Hanzo, Ricardo Almeida, all the great family support me a lot. So even that I didn't have like a good clothes for the weather, doesn't bother me a lot. The guys always help me, you know, help me to buy the cheap stuff for being on the weather. So realistically, doesn't bother me a lot.
You bounce back 3 months later against Alan Weikert. Alan Weikert's got a controversial win over Sean Salmon. It kind of made the news. You win by rear naked choke. And then the biggest fight of your entire life, bro. Travis Luter. Oh, come on, bro. Travis Luter's the man.
Yes, man. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
How was your relationship with the promoter, Corey Fisher?
Man, I didn't have a relationship with him. That's all it was Ali.
Okay.
Yeah, that was all Ali. I beat the guy on the Ring of Combat, right? And then I finished in Rear Naked Choke. And then I was training hard. And then one day Ali calls me and says, Sap, I have the big fight of your career. I say, really? I say, yeah, man. Travis Luter. And I remember that the guy fought against Anderson Silva. Mountain Anderson Silva, you know? And I say, he say, Sap, what do you think about the fight? I say, man, that's my fight. It's me. He say, really? I say, yeah, that's me, 100%. I say, if you beat him, we have the contract. If we have C, I say, let's do it. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him. Don't worry. And that's what happened. I trained for a month for this fight. It was a great one. You know, Draculino come for this fight. And man, it was great. I beat him with uppercut, dropped him and finished the fight. But it was amazing fight. Amazing experience. Yeah.
Yeah, Pujanowski, Tim Sylvia was the main event. It was kind of a circus.
Yeah, the strongest guy in the world, right? He still fights. Yeah. Yeah, I think he still fights.
He does fixed fights. They're all fixed fights.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Well,
you had mentioned Ricardo Almeida. How was your training sessions with him?
Man, it was amazing. You used to live in New York. Me, Igor, Gregor, Gracie, Hollis Gracie, yeah. Dave G. Branch, Andre Guzman. You used to woke up here like at 5 a.m., 5:30. take the car, they give him a ride, and then we go to New Jersey to train at Ricardo Almeida School, and he have amazing training camp there, amazing camp. And we always go there to train with him, and he always support me a lot. First time that I met him was funny, because Draculino called him and say, hey, Ricardo, Sapo is there, he's student of mine, you know, going to support him. And say, yeah, of course, man, send Sapo to here. And I never met Ricardo, and I know he was a beast, right?
A great MMA fighter,
a beast in jiu-jitsu, you know? And I was a big fan. And then we went to his academy, Neyman Grayson was with us too. And then the first time that I get there, I have one cut here. I didn't put stitch because it was expensive. I didn't want to spend money. And then I just put the glue.
It's crazy glue. Crazy glue.
Yes. I went to his academy and I arrived there and say, first time I saw him, okay? Hey, Sapo, how are you? Nice to meet you, brother. Draculino told me about you. What happened to your eye? I say, man, yeah, I opened here a little bit. And then he checked. I say, okay, warm me up. The training is going to start in a few minutes. Take your time. And then he left the academy. I say, man, where he went? You know, I say, okay. And then I start to warm up, put the tight my hand. And then a few minutes later, he arrived in the academy and he went to the pharmacy to brought the things for cover my cut, for that I can train well. That was the first time that I met Ricardo Almeida. Look how was my life, man. It's crazy. The guy never met me, saw my cut, left his school, left the training to buy some things from the other farmers, and then he covered my cut, covered everything, speaks for me.
Now, he hears about your reputation and said, no. I need to see. I will get it. I need to see. That's what that was.
Man, yeah. It was unbelievable. You know, and then I was with Neyman Grayson. Neyman was with me. I say, Neyman, he went there, bought everything for me. He prepared me for he beat me up. And Neyman, no, man, stop with that. No, I'm afraid, man. He prepared to beat me up. Have no reason for the guy to do this. Why he's going to do that for me? Amen. And I train and he support me a lot, you know. It's unbelievable. That's why I say I was like a homeless and everybody support, you know, because everybody, look at that. The first time that you met the guy and the guy do this for you, you know. So I was very blessed everywhere. Every door that I try to get in, everybody open for me and support me a lot. All my coaches, all my training partners, unbelievable.
Were you teaching at Henzo's school at this time? Because your fights aren't right in a row. There's some time in between.
Yes. I started to teach at Henzo since 2009, and I'm still there since 2009.
That's when, okay, yeah. Wow, right when you got here then. Right when you got here, you start teaching. That's smart, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. I arrived here in 2008, in September, and I didn't speak English. And then I say September, October, November, December, just fighting. And then I fought in the beginning of the year. And then Gregor Grace had one surgery on his shoulder. And then, like, I think it's February or March of 2009, Henzo comes to me and says, Sapo, man, you just fight. It's hard. Just make money with fights, you know. You don't want to teach. And I have my own school in Brazil, the Sapo team, right? And I say, man, I know you have your school in Brazil. I know you like to teach. Why don't you start to teach here before? I say, yes, I want. But I don't speak English. And say, man, the English you're going to learn, but you're such a nice guy. You always talk to everybody. You always support everybody here. So do your best and start to teach. Take the Gregor schedule because Gregor go to Brazil to have a surgery. And then start to teach on his place. Give attention for the guys and don't worry. They're going to support you, support them. That's how I start.
So your English, did it greatly improve once you started teaching?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because before that, I don't talk too much with the in English, you know, I always want to talk in Portuguese. I don't want to talk too much. And then when I start to teach, and then I had to improve my English, you know. I didn't do it very well yet, but at least I can communicate, you know.
You also have to accept that you're living here. That's sometimes very difficult for people.
What do you mean? To live here without speaking English?
Well, you live here, but people, in their mind, they're not accepting that they're living here. They're thinking, maybe I go back, or this is the way it is at home. This is different here.
Man, I have a dream. I have a dream to fight UFC. I have a dream to be a world champion, you know. So everything for my dream, you know. And I'm a very family guy. I'm pretty close to my family, not just for my brothers and my father and my mom, but for my cousins, my aunts, from everybody. My family is huge, and I'm pretty close to them. But I have a dream, you know. So, man, I have a dream, and I need to make it. If I want to, you know, become a champion, if I want to be a UFC fighter, I need to stay here. So everything has a price, right? So that's why I stay here for that long. That's the truth.
So when you got the phone call for the UFC, was it a short notice fight, or did you have time to prepare against Ron?
Victor Adorno?
No. It's Ron Antonito. Rich Antonito. I apologize.
Rich Antonito. Yeah. I have a time. I was in Brazil for vacation. And then when I opened my email, Ali sent the email to me. And I have the contract with UFC for 4 fights. Man, it was crazy. We celebrate in Brazil a lot. And I have a pretty time to prepare for the fight. It was short notice.
He's a Division I wrestler right out of the Tough 11. He's 8-3, training at the American Top Team. Man, dude, wrestlers are the hardest, man. They're the hardest, man.
And he's one of the worst one because he's a wrestler with heavy hands. That's for me the worst one. And we have a war. My first fight in UFC, you know, was Dave DeBranch fought the same night, I think, with Palhares, Rosimar yes. Palhares, yeah. Right? So I have my first UFC fight. Well, I was training good. The camp was good. I was feeling great. But I was doing good on the fight, and he dropped me on the first round. I think.
Yeah. First round, in like, you survived, though. Like, it was. Yeah. You even got a takedown. You took down a Division I wrestler. Like, that's.
That's good, right? Yeah, my wrestler was was good. Man, everybody say that, I fought, and then the guy dropped me, hit me hard, and then I fought, and like, automatically, you know, I don't remember what happens on the fight.
Well, you were winning, and then you just got caught.
I was, he beat me the first round, and then I won the second round, and then he won the third round.
Yeah.
But listen, he dropped in the first round, a really tough punch. I like a pass out and go back, kind of that. You know, and then I keep fighting and I don't remember nothing. I have some photos of this fight that was looking to nowhere. And then after this fight, I remember Draculino. I said, Draculino, what happened? I said, man, the fight is finished. Yeah, but what happened? He said, Sab, we're going to talk later. And then I saw the video. And then he brought me to the locker room and I still repeat the same things. And then he put me on the cold shower. And then after cold shower, and then I woke up. And I say, I lost. He say, yeah, you lost. I couldn't remember nothing. I don't remember the fight. I don't remember what happened. It was unbelievable. And then Draculino explained me what happened in the fight. And then Dana White come to the locker room. And he said, man, congrats on your fight. I don't know how you come back. You keep fighting after the punch. You know, you come back fighting. You still won the round. Don't worry. We're still going to have your contract. You're still going to have more opportunity. Don't worry about it. It was an amazing fight. Thank you. For everything was, and that was great for me, you know, because they cut a lot of guys in the first loss, right? And Dana White come to my locker room, talk to me, support was amazing, you know, was great.
What was your relationship like with Joe Silva?
We met a few times in UFC. Always was a good relationship. Always was nice to me, like Dana White too. Always was nice, you know, was good, and. Man, UFC always gave me the fights that I want. Like, I want to fight in Belo Horizonte. They gave me the fight in Belo Horizonte. I want to fight in Newark because it's right here, close to New York. They give me the fight here. So I have nothing to complain about UFC, man. I was very happy there with Dana White, Joey Silva, all these guys. They are always very nice to me. You know, when I have my injuries, I have a retina detachment. I broke my hand. They always support me a lot. They always want to give me the best doctor, but I always say, no, I'm going to Brazil, you know. I want to have a surgery in Brazil, and I have insurance there. So they always say, man, how much you spend there? And I say, no, I didn't spend nothing, don't worry. You know, they always support me a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I have unbelievable. I always give me a lot of support, a lot.
Do you play that forward? Do you do a lot for other people? Do you think this is karma coming to you because you give as well?
I think so. I believe in this a lot. You know, if you're a good guy, if you do good things, this is going to come back to you. I always believe on that. That's why I always try to be nice to the people. I always try to be loyal, to be fair to the people. I believe in karma a lot. I always talk about that on my classes, to my students, to my family. I always talk this about a lot. I believe 100% in karma. You know, sometimes something happens with me, and I say, okay, God, I know why this happened. Exactly know why this happened. You know, I'm like that. I'm this kind of the guy. I'm like that, you know.
So why don't we tell people where they could find you? Obviously, you're still teaching.
Man, I'm here in New York. I teach in the main academy, and I teach at the other kind of Hensel in Upper West. I'm always here in New York, you know. If the guy want anything, I'm always here. I have my Instagram too, you know, so anything, I'm always ready to help, to support, to do for the people what everybody did for me.
Your second UFC fight was against Jesse Blomqvist. Jesse Blomqvist's got a win over TJ Grant, which is an absolute savage. Did you burn your arms out in the first round in that fight?
Yes. Listen, again, we are here to say the truth. Before this fight, I have a staph infection.
Ooh.
A bad one. Yeah. I have a staph infection, and then I'm getting better, right? And then everybody says, Sap, don't fight, man. You have a lot of antibiotics, so that's bad for your cardio. Anti-inflammatory is okay. Yes. Anti-inflammatory is okay, but antibiotics is horrible. I say, man, my cardio is great. Don't worry about it. I'm going to fight. And then I fought with him. I fought the first round, and I beat him in the first round. I beat him the first and second round, right?
Almost and finished him in the first round.
Yes. And then the third round, I never felt that before. I was very, very tired. You know, I never feel that in my life. It was unbelievable. I never have that feeling. And he's still on top of me like he was punched on the mount. I couldn't get out. He stayed on the mount all third round. You know, but he didn't hit me hard because he was very tired too. No, like me, but he was tired. So he punched me very light, but he stayed on the mount all the round. And I beat him two rounds, 10 and 9. And he beat me the last round, 10 and 8. Right? And that was a draw. But a strong guy was crazy fight.
Here's your first, you're a champion. You're bred for this. This is where you're supposed to be. Your first two fights in the UFC, they don't give four-fight contracts. They do three-fight contracts, two-fight contracts. They don't give four. So they're investing in you. A loss and a draw.
Yes.
Where are you at mentally?
I was bad, man. That was bad. Listen, after this fight, I went to my locker room. I laid down, and I couldn't stand up. And then the UFC come and say, oh, he have to take a photo. And the guy look at me on the floor and say, man, this guy need a doctor. Because I was bad on the floor. I couldn't move, you know. And then their hands would say, no, don't worry. No, no, wait. The guy was there, called the doctor. Say that I was really bad. And then the doctors come and look at me and say, man, this guy, he looks horrible. We need to take him to the hospital. And then hands say, no, don't worry. Draconino too. But hands say, man, don't worry. Just bring him some Gatorade. Because he have a staph infection, so he take a lot of antibiotics. He gonna recover. I couldn't talk. I couldn't move. I was laid down like that, and it was crazy. I never feel that before. I couldn't do nothing. And then the doctor come with the Gatorade that Hanzo asked him. They give a Gatorade on my mouth. They drop a Gatorade little by little. I drop a little bit Gatorade. And after like 30, 40 minutes, I start to go back. I start to can move my arms. I start to sit up. And then I start to recover. It's unbelievable. I never feel that in my life. After this, I never have the experience again.
Okay.
It's crazy.
There's a couple of rules in mixed martial arts. You don't want a brave manager because he's going to get you killed. Very tough cornermen are not also good as well. You should have went to the hospital and Draculino and Hanzo, nope. get them Gatorade. An IV would have been perfect.
Man, but they know. Hanzo, I think he had the same situation before in Pride, you know? I think what that was what he said. He said, no, I have that before. That's the antibiotics. That's what made the antibiotics. He doesn't need nothing. Let him there and just bring the Gatorade. Hanzo's a doctor. He's everything, man. Him,
Dr. Hanzo. Yeah, Dr. Hanzo.
Dr. Hanzo, you know? Was very funny. And then I come back. And then Ari talked to Dana White. You know, explain for him what happened because I have a staph infection. Send him some photos that about my staph infection. Dana White. He fought with that. He doesn't want to jump out of the fight. Look after the fight. And then Dana White said, no, don't worry. He's going to have more opportunity. And then I fought again. I think that's because I was a very nice guy. You know, they have to be nice to me. That's why they give you too much opportunities, you know?
Paul Bradley is your third UFC opponent. You were supposed to fight Riki Fukuda out of Japan. He gets a knee injury. Kostas Philippou then pulls out to fight Jorge Rivera. You don't even know who you're fighting until about the week of.
Exactly. It was crazy. Yeah, man, tough fight. A great wrestler.
He's on a 4-fight win streak, The Ultimate Fighter Season 7, 2-time All-American at Iowa. Like, that's legit. And he's from Greg Nelson, Pedro Sauer, black belt.
Yeah, was a tough fight. Man, this fight, Joe Rogan, if you watch this fight, Joe Rogan talk, man, how Sabo can stand up, don't fall, because he tried to take me down many times. Have one time that he picked my legs up and I was walking with my hands upside down, and he couldn't take me down. He took me down, I think, at the end of the second round, but it was a war, and I kicked his legs a lot. That's how I stopped him. I killed his legs with many kicks, you know, and that was my first victory in UFC. That was an unbelievable day.
A relief. Relief.
Unbelievable day. I have on my phone my that's the day. That's the photo, and I still have. That was the day. I have this photo. Unbelievable, man. The relief.
He was 18-2. Did you break your hand in that fight?
Yes, I broke this hand again in this fight.
Okay.
That was the third and last time.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's wild. Yeah, and Phil Nurse, your Muay Thai coach, Phil Nurse.
Another guy that have a big responsibility for my career. You know, Ali brought me to him. And I say, Phil, I was there for a few times without Ali saying not. I say, Phil, I have one guy I would like to train there, doing the sparring there. That Phil knows you should have a great sparring camp there. GSP, you should go there. A lot of UFC fighters. And I used to be at that time, I'm going there just to sparring. And then one day, Ali talked to Phil and say, Phil, Sapo need a Muay Thai coach. You know, what do you think about? And if you know, say, man, I train him. This guy have a lot of potential. Let's talk. I'm going to train him. And Phil is he doesn't train a lot of guys, you know?
No. No, he picks.
He picks.
Mark Henry, they pick.
Yep. Yes. I trained for Mike Henry for a while, too. But Phil knows, a lot of guys doesn't like him because of that. Right? Mark Henry, no. He teach the people his place, you know? So he pretty close. He doesn't have like a school. Few nurses have a school, and then everybody say, I can't go there. He's going to train me, and he's not. He picked the guys, and he picked me. I was very lucky, you know? He went to my place, to my house in Brazil. We are very close, yes. We are very close. I'm very close to his wife, to his kids. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable guy. You know? It's unbelievable. Love this guy, too.
This gentleman has 15 more fights in the UFC. Like, that's just the first three. You've got 15 more. You had a very, very blessed career, man. Very blessed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But that was, you know, a lot of guys to say thank you, you know, to all of that.
Who are we? Give us some words of wisdom to close out the interview.
Man, I'm like I told you, I'm very blessed. You know, I always put my life in God's hands. You know, I mentioned some names here in the interview, but I have a lot of names to mention here. There are a lot of people that help me, that support me. Training partners, coaches, you know, my family. So I'm a blessed, you know. Sorry for the people that didn't mention the name because I have a lot, you know. So I think it's that, you know, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be loyal to yourself, you know. Be loyal to yourself. That's the first thing, you know, believe in yourself. And I believe in God that my life was that, you know. I always believe in the good things. I all believe that everything happens for a reason, you know. I retired very early because I still was very healthy besides my eye. You know, my retinal detachment changed my career. I have my first retinal detachment when I fought against Ryan Hall, right? After this fight, I come back the same fighter. Yeah.
Uriah Hall, the groin kick, intentional or unintentional?
I swear to God, no intention.
Okay.
I'm going to teach a seminar. The guy, stop one question. And they ask me that.
Neither was intentional. Very good striking, kick to the groin, a little bit of a break. Okay, go ahead.
Neither was intentional. But after my fight against Ryan Hall, I was very good moment of my career, on my prime. I beat Ryan Hall, very tough guy. And then I have a surgery on my eye. And the doctor asked me to, I retired, you know, stop, it's danger, you keep fighting. I said, no, man, I'm on my prime, I want to keep fighting. And then I have my second retinal detachment. And then after my second one, I didn't come back the same fighter, you know. And then that's changed my career. And now everybody says, Sapo, but man, you don't regret. I say, no, man, things happen for a reason. You know, if this happens, it's because it's supposed to happen. And that's it. I think that's why I have to retire, I think, a little bit early. I was afraid to get him blind, you know. I was afraid to get him hit in the eye. My last two fights against Tim Boyshit and Eric Anders. I watched the fight. Draconian say, Sapo, man, it's better you stop it, you know. When you're training very well. I was training great. He said, you're training very well. You're doing a great camp. But when you're going to fight, you start the fight, you're freezing. We can see you that you're freezing. You're not the same guy anymore. Stop a little bit, and then maybe you come back later. But we don't want to see you get beat up like that. You know, you were such a tough guy. We don't want to see that because you are afraid to be blind. You know, and say, yeah, man, that's true. And my Ali talked to me, Draculino talked to me about that. You know, they say, man, we feel bad to see you get beat up like that. We don't want to see you get beat up like that because you are afraid to fight because your eye. And then that's why I retire early. And as I say, I think everything's happened for a reason. My mom asked me to stop because I preserve my health issue, you know. So I think that was the right decision. And I'm very happy now. I'm teaching a lot here in New York. I'm training a lot. I still compete in jiu-jitsu. And I just have great things about my life. Just take good things to talk about. Everybody that's around me. Everybody around me. I always have just amazing people, you know.
So from my end, I talk to a lot of people, a lot. Like once a week, we make drops. And every once in a while, I run into somebody that I admire, that I wow, this is an incredible person. And the one question I always have, whenever I recognize that, I say, who is the person you admire? But you know, I ask it in a certain way. When Draculino said your name, brother, I knew, I just like, let me just wait. I got to get him on here. It's truly an honor to meet somebody that is admired by somebody that I admire.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks very much, Mike. I appreciate your time, man. Draculino is like a brother, a father, you know. It means a lot for me. And like you say, you know, he's one of the best in the world by far. You know, he make a lot of world champions, and he make a lot of men's that's more important to make a world champion. He changed a lot of lives, you know. So I'm very blessed to have him in my life. Thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit more about my life here. That, like we say, that's the first podcast in English that I'm doing, you know.
Very good. So, very good, brother. Okay.
I hope you understand what I say, you know. So thank you very much for this opportunity. And I hope we can talk on the future again, you know. And
part two, we got to get your UFC career. Absolutely. We're training partners, UFC career. Maybe we'll bring in Draculino as well to talk about the fights. I think the three of us would be very good, especially with Draculino, man.
will be amazing, especially because I have to talk about more than after this fight on UFC. I have to talk my new life with my wife, you know, how's my new life as retirement. We're going to talk about that soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Sapo, greatly appreciate it, brother. Nice meeting you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. God bless you guys. God bless you all.
Well, there we go. Let me tell you something, man. That interview got very emotional in the beginning. I had to slow it down a little bit, kind of reel it back in, because I, it happens probably about, I want to say that if we do 10 interviews, I'd say about 3 or 4 of them, there's always some emotion where somebody cries. It's just kind of like you hit that one moment in their career that really means a lot to them. And a guy like this, Rafael, it's like, I didn't want that to continue throughout the entire interview. And, you know, we got a good one. That was a really, really good interview. Super solid listen for you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, you're a promoter. You need somebody doing color commentary. I do it for Ignite Fights. If you guys ever just want to watch a regional MMA event, we're on Spectation Sports. I'm doing a full color commentary. I try to work in history. I don't shoehorn it in, but when it presents itself, I do it during the live, you know, when I'm calling the fights. Please give that Ignite Fights. We're on Instagram as well as Spectation Sports. But if you guys can like, share, and subscribe, we're trying to like game the algorithms here. I need more iTunes reviews and I need comments on YouTube. So even if it's just 2 minutes out of your time for you guys to do that for me, we're giving you a lot of content. We're throwing clips up on YouTube. Ty Green has been just coming through like crazy in regards to his work output. We're not even paying the guy. He's doing those clips for us for absolutely free. Joey Venti's been lining up guests left and right. So, I mean, like Sapo, we're also very blessed here. And if anybody wants to help out, just contact us. We'll figure out a way. I got a couple Cash App tips. All of that goes to paying for Buzzsprout and, you know, all the other BS that comes for it. I mean, we pay probably about $500 a month just to get this podcast going and kind of keep it going. And it's not going to stop. So appreciate you guys. I hope as much as you guys appreciate the show. And we got another one, really, really good episode in the books. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Check out the full interview on iTunes, Spotify, and all major podcast platforms.